but miso genuana.
Miso genuana, yeah.
What's that?
So we're going.
Oh, ABR.
You
always
said
be recording.
Miso phony.
Oh, phony versus genuine. Got it.
That is
you so genuine.
Yeah, you have. Yeah, what is that exactly?
Misophonia is when you have like a real aversion to like chewing noises and slurping noises.
I used to know this woman who would freak out if I chewed on aluminum foil.
Oh.
Oh, well, that seems like that's more than misophonia.
I'm surprised that didn't bother you.
Yeah.
That's gross.
I'm actually...
I mean, it's not that I chew on, but I forget how it happened and that I had... But it doesn't bother me at all. It's like fingernails on a chalkboard
I'm having a reaction to the thought of it.
Really? Because I go get some?
Did you listen to a podcast with Melanie Linsky this week by any
chance? No, I didn't. But I do know from other interviews that she has misophonia.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. But I did not listen to
her.
She was on.
Crippling. She was saying that if someone comes up and they're chewing gum, cannot think of anything except getting away from
that. Sounds terrible. Yeah. That sounds debilitating.
I love her.
I know.
I don't want her to be weird.
Yeah, I know. It's like you always have to eat alone. That's sad.
No, it's not. I guess maybe if she's eating as well.
Oh, that balances it out.
I don't know. I don't know. But
can she not chew gum?
She doesn't chew gum. She gets really freaked out by people chewing gum. Well, she doesn't like open mouth chewing. If they were chewing
gum, who likes open mouth?
But there's a lot of people who do.
Open mouth chew.
Yeah.
No, that's not misophonia.
I fucking hate that.
That's like, that's just a normal aversion to bad
news. But she has misophonia, and she says her dad had it, and it's genetic, and so everyone, all her siblings have it.
Yeah.
So,
or maybe just the Linsky family is fucking weird.
Yeah.
Except they're from New Zealand, so what would it sound like?
Chances?
They'd be
they're weird.
Weird,
mate.
They're weird. It's just a little unusual.
Jeez. Okay, there you go. Are we done? Are you going to introduce this thing or not?
Yeah, welcome to
we
Two Queens
no
and a
introduction.
What? Well, the what is Mexican food on the way. With some french fries. Megan requested
french fries. Craving french fries.
And you're out of cash. Where were you today that was cash only?
I was at...
I want to know about this sort of thing.
Hookerville, USA.
Annabelle Basin, which is in Long Island City. It's right on the water. It's a really nice place. It's like German type food. I didn't have any food because I just wasn't feeling like sausage.
So what the fuck did you do with all your money?
Yeah, what did you
I spent it on drinks. I had a couple drinks.
Oh, you had a couple
drinks. Yeah, and I bought my friend Maria a drink because it was sort of like a goodbye to Maria because she's moving to London. So I was there with Myrna, friend of the pod, Myrna. Uh-huh.
Is she a friend of the pod? I mean, when was the last time the pod has heard from her?
Friend of podcaster. Oh, and she sends her hellos.
Oh, well, thank you.
And we were there with our other pals, Athena, Chelsea, and Anna, who might listen. I don't know. So hi. But Marie's moving to London.
I'm lucky with Marie.
I know. Very lucky, Maria. Yeah. So
you know
it
why?
Was a little...
Because it's right next to Scotland.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So she knows to be on the lookout.
She knows
to be
on the lookout. Why you were cash poor and why you are hungry. Because you didn't eat.
Because I didn't eat. Yeah, I didn't eat because I just didn't really feel like having sausage.
Oh, really?
And they really don't have and they
like
don't have french fries. they don't have french fries. They do have burgers, but I didn't want burgers.
She didn't want the
they
curry
have burgers,
first.
But not french fries?
Yes, they don't have french fries at this place. They must not. They obviously don't have a fryer.
Guys, the Germans are fucking evil.
But they also have something called chavapi. So I think they might be Croatian or something Eastern European.
Did they have currywurst?
No, they just had kielbasa.
They're not German. This is Polish or something.
Yeah, it's Eastern Europe.
Yeah, it's not German.
Yeah.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah.
In Long Island City.
Yeah, but wonderful views.
How did you walk there?
No, I didn't walk because I didn't leave with enough time. It actually would take me about an hour to walk there. No. So I took the train to Queens Plaza and I walked from Queens Plaza.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Queens Plaza and Court Square are your best train options.
Yeah. And so how far long a walk was it from the train
station? 20 minutes.
Yeah. Because it's to go long.
On the water.
Yeah. Because it's a trek over there.
Yeah.
From the station.
But Long Island City is really booming. A lot of Asian food places.
Yeah.
Yeah. I walked by Dutch Kills. I had my first drink there when Maddie's sister was in town. It was a nice.
Oh, you've never been there?
I'd never been.
I loved Dutch Kills.
Yeah. Had a nice drink.
I took my brother there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fancy.
We had a famous night with Mary Ann there on a Halloween.
Oh, we were drunk.
Oh, I feel like I've heard this.
We went to
after the PS1 party?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. We were all dressed as
PS1 Halloween. We were all dressed as
Kimberly?
Kim Davis.
Kim Davis.
Yeah.
The, I don't know what.
She wouldn't marry people.
She wouldn't marry people in Kentucky.
She was like the county clerk.
And took it upon herself to not marry gay people.
She would not issue marriage license to same-sex couples.
So we went as her, all of us.
All of us dressed as her, and it was scary. Mike was eerily a doppelganger for her.
Wow.
And it was fun when people would like say, oh, Kim Davis. They got that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still have that ugly dress, I think.
A real zeitgeist costume.
Yeah, I do too, somewhere. That's probably something we should throw out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I'll ever wear that again.
Yeah. Why
would you? Yeah. Well, who knows? At some point, we might have to try to sneak out of someplace.
You know?
Maybe
I want to dress
we'll
as a sister
child.
Wife.
Maybe we'll have a child who for some reason, is engaged to an ultra-right-wing politician, and we have to sneak out through the gay bar that's on the first floor of our apartment.
I hate when that happens.
Oh, who knows what tomorrow will bring?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Who knows?
Who knows?
I don't know.
I don't either.
It's gonna be.
It'll be work.
Monday and a subway ride and work. And
yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe a few other things.
Yeah. Thanks for killing the wonder of the unknown.
You're welcome. Kind of me. Are we done? I don't know why.
Well,
I find this really fun and.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You're a very tactile person.
Yeah, I'm sure it's fun for the listeners too.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break, take Mike's toy away, and we'll be back.
But yeah, that's right.
And we are back. So, we were just discussing the top 100 restaurants.
According to Pete Wells. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there were obviously mostly Manhattan, but Brooklyn and Queens had pretty good representation as well.
Mm-hmm.
Lots in your neighborhood because what Elmhurst is like the really big Thai place right now.
Oh.
So I think there was a couple Thai places in Elmhurst.
Okay.
And then of course your birria taco truck.
Yeah. Right.
And then I think there's also a brick and mortar Mexican place, which is not the Mexican place we order from.
Oh, I wonder where.
But I can't remember for sure. And a seafood place in Astoria made the list.
Oh yeah.
Which I've never been there. I think it's called Aboukir. It's like an Egyptian or Middle Eastern seafood place.
Okay.
Yeah. So we should go.
We've been to a couple seafood places in Astoria recently. Well, Greek places.
Yeah.
Greek.
I think this is a little more like in the like the Little Egypt area of Astoria as opposed to the Greek. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So lots of places to try.
Cool.
Yeah.
What else did you do this week? Actually, you guys went.
I had a very heavy for me Broadway week with Mike.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What did you see?
Well, the week was
Thursday night.
Wednesday.
Oh yeah, you
John and
Wednesday.
I saw Camelot.
Camelot, which I was shocked. There were no camels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I really
it
thought
says
it
that
was,
there's a lot.
I thought it was about a Middle Eastern used camel.
Camelot.
But no, it's not. It's about King Arthur and the Round Table. Did you know that?
I did, in fact. But I've never seen the production, and I hear this is not one to necessarily be my first.
No.
Well,
you know what?
I mean, it was a beautiful production.
It's a beautiful production. There's no production that should be your first. It's a shitty
show.
It's
just not a good show.
Yeah,
it's a bad show.
Okay.
They
Then why do people redo it?
They rarely do.
Yeah.
Aaron Sorkin rewrote it.
But
he didn't rewrite it well.
Did he add lots of dialogue?
No.
Did he add some like walking where you're like, what? Normally they would have been sitting at the round table, but now they're walking around.
Yeah. There was a perfect opportunity because there was a maypole. If anything was set up
they
for
been walking
around
and talking
in a circle
around
and
the...
talking, a maypole.
Dang,
is.
Aaron. Well, if you're listening, Mr. Sorkin.
So the first act I thought was just a lovely refurbished museum piece.
Mm-hmm.
That's, it's like theater as a museum. Uh-huh. That's all it was. The second act, it was it just fell apart like a fucking train wreck.
Yeah.
It was like he cut out. So Merlin is not a magician. He's just an old, you know, a wise old man. So he's cutting out all. Morgana is not a sorceress. She's just a scientist.
Is there any magic at all?
No, none. She's just a scientist.
If you're going to take something out, why would you take that stuff out?
I don't know. I never saw the original. Anyway, I don't know why he just didn't cut Morgana. It made no sense. The whole love triangle was like, it fell flat. It was like, oh my God, this is a huge failure.
And the three principals were excellent.
Were they? Any big
Philippa
names?
Shue.
Oh, Philippa Shue, love her.
Who was fabulous.
Yeah.
And once again, showed a humorous side that, you know, always takes you by surprise.
Yeah.
She's so pretty and she sings so beautifully.
And her
to
comic
realize
timing.
She has that those comic chops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has she been in? Oh, yeah. Oh, she was on TV. She was in that
opioid
show.
Yes.
Where she was funny, like darkly funny.
She was also awful.
No, she was, but she was also
an awful human.
Okay, got it.
And Andrew Burnap, who won a Tony for The Inheritance, he played Arthur.
Yeah.
And I applaud his tight velvet black pants. They were really
nice. Yeah, they were very nice.
They were really nice. Uh-huh. Yeah. And Jordan Danica played Lancelot, and he has a beautiful voice. I didn't think he was that hot, but I didn't think he was unhot. But the whole, and anyway, just,
okay.
So then Thursday night, I went with Megan to see Prima Facie
or Prima Facie, or something. I don't know. We've been pronouncing it wrong.
If you're British, you also say aluminium.
Yeah, how did they say it in the play?
Does
she not?
She doesn't say it, but they say it.
Good evening, welcome to Prima Facie.
Yeah, something like
Prima
that.
Prima Facie.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah,
I don't mean.
I always say Prima Facie. Fuck it.
Yeah, it was mind blowing.
Yeah.
It was so well acted. It's all like it was good. It still feels slightly weird to call something so. You know, like about sexual assault and rape, you know, like it was such a good night at the theater, but it was it really was,
well,
even though the subject matter was like very heavy.
It is
very
rare
dark.
When I use the phrase, it was astonishing.
Yeah. Mike and I are still like, even on Saturday, we're talking about the fact that we can't believe she does that 8 times a week.
You know,
because it's just so heavy.
Yeah. It's 100 minutes of only her.
Just her.
You know, she leaves the stage at one point to change and get dry.
Happens while she's gone?
It goes dark, and
it goes dark. But
they're changing some set around.
You see a projection
of days passing, two and a half years.
Day one,
got it.
Day two,
got it. Yeah.
Day three, and it goes up to day 782.
Yeah, okay. And so that's from the day that she was raped to the day that her trial begins.
Yeah.
Not her trial, the trial
she plays
of the guy.
A lawyer. It's a one-woman show. She plays a lawyer in England.
Well, I'm sorry. She plays a barrister.
A barrister, which is a lawyer in England.
Yeah, who is a defense. She's a defense barrister.
Right.
And so like the first part of the show, there's no intermission, but like, well, I guess the first like act when there's not two acts is her like basically talking about like going through the becoming a barrister and then walking through having to like defend people, including alleged rapists,
right.
You know, and how the, you know, she walks through that process. And then like the quote unquote second half is her dealing with the fact that she was raped and now being on the other side of the table or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was totally fascinating. And it was also really, you know, Mike and I at the end were like, well, what's terrible is that even though beyond a shadow of doubt, this guy did it, you know, it's still just because of the way the judicial system is set up in England on the stage, but also America, is that it's, you know, maybe, what was it? I can't remember. It's a horrific statistic of how many people actually get convicted because of the way the judicial system
is. It's like less than 1%.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, what I like the most about the play is they set up the rape or the assault in that she's had sex with this guy she works with. And then a week later, they go out on a date And they have fun. She invites him back to her house. They drink some more. They're very drunk. They have consensual sex. Yeah. And then they pass out. And she wakes up an hour or so later feeling sick. She goes and she gets sick in the toilet. And then he comes in and he brings her back to bed. And he then has sex with her again, but this time without her consent.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I thought
she has consensual sex and then
and there's alcohol involved, you know, so like it's totally set up to where a prosecutor could poke a million holes in the story.
Right.
And that's all that it takes.
And I was
a poking of a hole.
Right. And I was also saying, you know,
if you were on the jury,
I'm not sure I could convict him. Even though I
because
know
because of the way the system is set up. That is because of the way the system is set up. Because he's so clearly guilty.
He is guilty. I mean, I know.
But because a good prosecutor, like she says something at the beginning of the play. She's like, it's just storytelling, and the defense tells a story, and the prosecution tells a story, and then the jury gets to pick which story they believe
more.
And that's how she because she sometimes does have to defend people that maybe are guilty, but her job is to put on a story that the jury believes more.
And all he has to say is, "I thought I had consent."
Right.
That's all he really has to say.
Which is horrifying.
You know.
Yeah.
It is horrifying.
Yeah.
And been that way for history. You know.
Yeah.
The idea that a woman could be raped by her husband has only
that was raised.
Until the 70s, I don't think anyone thought twice about that.
Right.
I think it was probably the 90s.
And I was like, I the whole time I was thinking about Christine Blasey Ford and her testimony against Justice Kavanaugh, and I can't remember the line. I wish I could, but Jodie Comer delivers a line that's like, something about how, yes, like there was alcohol involved, but like, something about how it doesn't mean though that I am misremembering,
and it's the whole thing is like, you know, you have the lawyers pounding on her for answers and she's like, this is one of the most traumatic things that ever happened to me. How am I supposed to remember? But we can't get the truth if the truth is defined by a court system that is made by men.
Right.
And it was a really good play, and she is
phenomenal.
Tell
your, like, literally the second the clapping was over, this was Mike's comment.
Jessica Chastain must be so fucking pissed.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That Tony is out of there for her.
She doesn't even need to go to the ceremony anymore. She'll get a nomination, God bless her heart. But, yeah.
Did you see Dollhouse?
No.
Oh, I thought you did.
No. And then Friday, John and I went and saw New York, New York, the new quote-unquote Kander and Ebb musical.
Well, I believe the quote-unquote's around new, not Kander and Ebb.
Yeah, that's true. I think I liked it a little bit more than John. Mm-hmm. John, you did not like it.
I just thought it was boring.
Yeah.
What did Brian Scott Lipton called it Kander and Ebb's jukebox musical?
Yeah.
I call it their pine box musical. Because I just thought it was boring. I didn't think the two leads had chemistry.
Mm. Was it male, female?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I the male lead I liked, but I believe he was coached to sing in this really bizarre way.
He sounded like a mixture of Bobby Darin and Chet Baker after they'd done ketamine. It's hard to do, but I must say, as weird as it was, I appreciated it because everything else was just mainlining vanilla into me.
Yeah.
And so it was, at least it was something new and different.
Yeah.
And the other thing I didn't care for was, you know, I know it's a period, it takes place in the 40s, and they were wearing 40s costumes, but it's a big dance show, right?
Yes, Susan Stroman directed it. Yeah,
but if I have a stage full of male dancers, I want to see some booty.
Yeah.
And the cut of those pants made everyone look chunky.
Yeah.
They did. So and you know there was better butts under there than we were being presented.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that was a little thing.
So my review is that it is the greatest show ever made for a cruise ship.
Well, and I will say, after an evening of a very bored, you know, the final song is going to be "Start Spreading the News," which we've all heard until we just can't stand.
Right.
But I will say, they delivered.
Yeah. They delivered. They made that really exciting.
They made it exciting. Yeah. And
really exciting.
That was. But all the other songs were really throwaways.
I liked "A Quiet Thing" that when he did that. You didn't like that guy, that his singing, but I kind of liked the way he did it, and I thought she did "The World Goes Round" exceptionally well. I thought she was really good.
Yeah.
Who's she?
She was in Six.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she was really good.
You know.
Well, and I will say, the storyline, I did appreciate, you know, like they brought in storylines of like
black guy.
People coming to America, to New York for various reasons, to become a star. But it was also, there was a Cuban family that moved to New York. Mm-hmm. And the son, who's, you know, an adult, but anyway, he wanted to be a Cuban musician.
Mm-hmm. They all want to be musicians.
And he was gay. Mm-hmm. And
but that's never said. It's implied.
It's implied. He says his dad called him feminine.
Yeah, in America.
I mean, it was. No one would see it and not say, "Oh yeah, that's a gay character."
Yeah.
Were they trying to be, because it's set in the '40s?
It was.
That's why they didn't acknowledge it. It was all subtext.
No, it was because
it is realistic for the '40s, where, you know, they wouldn't have talked about it.
Right. Yeah.
This, I mean, New York,
food is here.
Our tacos are here.
New York is, it was like AI. It was like a musical written by an AI.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
That's
in your cruise ship comment, say everything you need to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that, I'm not sure that even tourists are going to like this that much. I mean, they might if they're not theater savvy at all. Mm. I think definitely, if a tourist who's English as a second language might like this a lot more, because it's a lot of tropes about America and New York, but generally for New Yorkers, it's crucial.
Just boring. Yeah.
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 So then Saturday afternoon, I went with Megan again to see Summer 1976, a new play by David Auburn, directed by Daniel Sullivan, starring Laura Linney and Jessica Hecht.
It was a very pleasant afternoon at the theater. Like, it was just, it was two women who are
white women,
very
white women.
Yeah, it was a very white, pleasant afternoon at the theater with like two, like, well, I don't know. Would Jessica Hecht be called a stage legend? Laura Linney's a stage legend. Is Jessica Hecht?
I think she is.
I've seen her once or twice before,
but she's extremely well respected.
Laura Linney that way is because she has the bigger film and TV career, so she's more famous.
That's probably true, and also like she's also theater royalty, like with her dad, and you know, like. But what I liked about it was even the story. The story was like two women. And they're like blossoming friendship in the summer of 1976. What I appreciated about it was they're so good. And I guess it was written and directed so well that you know that they were not ad-libbing, but like it felt like they were. And
spontaneous conversation.
Yeah, totally. Except though that the conceit of the play was that it wasn't a spontaneous conversation. I still don't love this because I don't totally get it. It almost feels like they're being interviewed and you just don't see the interviewers off stage and is like asking them to describe the summer of 1976.
It's kind of like The Office, you know.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I get, but, yeah.
Some scenes to the audience and some scenes with each other?
Almost all of it's to the audience.
Oh, so
there's no real scenes between. Sometimes they're going.
And so do their memories not match?
No, they match.
They match.
Yeah.
They match.
And like one of them like picks up the story where the other one leaves, you know?
What it is about these two women who have a kind of an intense friendship for a few months.
Pretty short-lived,
And that's really all it is.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. I mean, the only theater in the nation that would produce this show right now is Manhattan Theater Club, because it is run by an 80-year-old white woman. And
nothing groundbreaking about
nothing
it.
Nothing groundbreaking.
Like, yeah.
But Daniel Auburn is a very good playwright. Daniel Sullivan is a very good director.
They're very good actors.
Two actresses are very good.
Yeah.
So everything was just really pleasant. There wasn't, you know, so I mean, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad
it's not going to get maybe any Tony nominations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Laura Linney looked like freaking like 30.
Yeah, Laura Linney's ridiculous.
She looked really
She's ridiculous.
Good. Yeah.
Like thin and I know, it's just too ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then after that, John and I went down to Joe's Pub at the Public Theater and saw Plays from the Plague Year by Susie Laurie Parks.
And?
It was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was because it was just different.
Yeah.
Well, and it was in Joe's Pub, which is the cabaret space.
So, like, you're having a drink while you're watching.
But
like,
I don't know why it needed to be in that space.
I think it had cheaper contracts for the actors.
Oh, probably. Mm. Oh, yeah.
That's, but I don't know. Hmm.
Interesting. It's possible. Yeah, because it's a pretty big cast. What they're for.
Yeah, there's eight actors.
Yes.
And then four band members.
So she wrote a play a day for 1 year?
So
a little over a year.
March 13th.
Okay. Right.
2020.
Got it.
When we
The last pub trivia we did for the foreseeable future.
She started writing
she wrote a play.
A play.
Right.
You know, it could be a scene.
Yeah.
You know, or a song something
but
like
she
that.
She wrote something.
Right. And so it goes on. And then you're like, this year, it's not only was it COVID, it was George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. It was
things.
The election, the insurrection. It was this year.
Yeah.
And
it wouldn't have been the insurrection.
January 6, 2021, from March 13th.
That happened in 2021?
Yeah.
Yeah. 20 was the election year.
Oh my God, my time is
totally
screwed up.
No, so there's just this whole thing. And the first act I was like, because it's 3 hours long.
Yeah.
Right? And the first act I was like, well, yeah, this is, you know, it's not bad, but, you know, but it's the totality of the year that gets to you.
So
like
at
everything.
The end, you're like, whoa.
It was beautiful. It was interesting. The presentation was interesting.
Some of the plays she wrote are about when she hears somebody die. She does. She writes a little playlet with them.
She gets, they get a play.
Yeah.
You know, like one, like, you know.
Ming Cho Lee was a theater set designer. He designed some of the theaters of the public theater.
And he died.
And he died.
He died during that year. So one of her plays was about him.
Uh-huh.
The guy that, the Chinese doctor that discovered the COVID.
Uh-huh.
And when he dies, he gets
Breonna Taylor.
George Floyd. George Floyd. And there's a line in there that just kind of blows me away. It's like, you know, because it all started because he passed a bill that was
$20 bill
that was not real, right?
Yeah.
Which the store claimed was not real.
Yeah, they claimed.
Yeah.
I don't think he was passing it, but he.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I've actually been called out.
Told that your bill was fake.
Like, you're kidding me. But he's, you know, one of the lines is, I wonder if I would have been safe if Harriet Tubman was on the 20. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I mean, I just think that's. You know,
a lot of things would be different in the world if that were the case.
Right. I just think, you know, we should have Harriet Tubman on the 20.
Right.
It's really
Duh,
I mean,
no brainer.
I just, I mean, I knew that anyway, but I just never thought of it like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that was that was a big theater week.
Yeah.
And I think, well, Prima Facie is going to be the best, but. Plays from the Plague Year is pretty close.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Will it now things often get transferred. Is it going to get transferred?
No, it can't.
Okay.
It really can't.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
No, you know. You don't. You never know.
I just can't.
And she's.
Well, the other thing is, would she want, you know, because she's in it.
Yeah.
Is she?
Yeah, she's a.
Oh.
She plays quote unquote the writer.
Uh-huh.
So it's all her songs, and she's singing the whole thing. She probably doesn't want to do that. I don't see a commercial, a very long commercial run. Maybe they could do it for a month at 54 Below, but they wouldn't do that.
Hmm. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I don't know. I think she could do, you know, in one of the small theaters like the Court. I think she could do a month.
Again, I mean, well, I mean, this was playing a month at Ojo's Pub, so
yeah,
or I'm not sure how long, probably not a month.
And the whole cast was great.
Yeah,
yeah, the whole uniformly excellent. If there was a award for best ensemble, mm-hmm. I would give it to that mm-hmm. company because they were just all so good.
Mm-hmm. And you know, they all played different characters.
Yeah, at one point, this guy is playing her 8-year-old son, and then later on, he plays George Floyd, and I'm thinking, well, who's what this? Why haven't I seen this actor before? I'm like, then I realized it was our 8-year-old son. I'm like, oh my God. And then he plays James Baldwin. And it was like, oh man.
Yeah.
Really good. I shouldn't be here. People are going to think that I'm not that know how James Baldwin talks. People are going to think that I died this year. You can't do that. She says, well, I just need it. Anyway. Mm. It was really sweet.
Yeah.
Because he was her mentor.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And she's what, like, playwright in residence at the Public or something?
She has been, but she is the first Black woman to ever win the Pulitzer Prize.
What?
She was the first. Do I have to repeat it?
For playwriting, ever?
Top Dog Underdog was the first Pulitzer Prize winning play written by a Black woman.
So for play, but also
I don't
ever?
Know. No, for a playwright.
Okay. But still. Whoa. Because that was what, 2 years ago? 1 year ago?
It was 20 years ago. We just had the 20th anniversary production.
Oh, I didn't know it was a revival.
Okay. Oh, I guess we're going to have Megan's theater school. I wonder, I mean, I don't have the program anymore. I hope she wasn't the first Black woman to win a Pulitzer. I hope it was just she was a Black woman playwright.
Although, why would we be surprised?
No.
Why would we?
Toni Morrison has a Pulitzer.
Okay.
For
okay. Okay. So just the second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, who knows who else?
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Well,
okay. So that takes care of theater.
That's theater. Yeah.
That's theater.
Well, okay. Well, let's take a break and then we'll talk about TV.
Okay.
Let's go. Let's
go.
Okay, TV this week.
TV.
Top Chef. Okay, Top Chef. World Masters?
Whatever it's called.
Yeah, World
Champions. World Champs, something
yeah.
like that. Once again, I just want to eat that damn Middle Eastern food, like, so badly.
I kind of want to eat LA.
But you know what? I think I finally have somebody who I want to win it all.
What was the theme of this? You had to eat with
utensils. No, it was no utensils.
No utensils.
They had what's his name? Gagan, this Indian chef whose restaurant is in Thailand.
He's on you know that Netflix show Chef's Table.
Oh, he has an episode.
Yeah, it's like
I've only ever seen Dominique Crenn's episode, but I really liked it, so I should watch more.
I mean, it's beautifully shot. Yeah. But Jesus, you get hungry watching some of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want Sarah to win it all.
I love Sarah.
She's the U.S. woman from Kentucky.
I like her too. She's the one who's always breastfeeding.
Yeah. Pumping. Yeah. But honestly, you know, what I actually have is the desire for only one person to not win.
Boom.
And that's Buddha. Even though I don't hate Buddha,
I just don't
want Buddha to win.
Are you tired of his molds?
Definitely tired of his molds.
Yeah, I don't want Buddha to win.
I just don't want him to win. Yeah, he's fine. He's going to be fine. I mean, they're all going to be fine.
Yeah, they're all going to be
fine. I didn't understand. He brought the mold of hands.
And a skull mold.
He's brought so many molds.
But did you eat the hands?
No, it just presented.
It didn't present that well on TV. Maybe it did in person.
Yeah, I just thought it was dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like them all. They're all likable. Buddha, a little less so. And they're all incredibly talented, at least on television.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was destined that the Canadian was going to get kicked off again.
Yeah. But I do hope he wins Top Chef and comes back again.
That would be pretty funny.
Yeah.
Because then he would get kicked off again.
Yeah. Yeah. The Mexican, when Mexican.
Gabri. Oh, what did he make? Tacos.
Tacos.
Tacos. That were.
Al pastor, but with fish.
Yeah, he made fish, he cooked the fish al pastor.
They
loved them.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, okay. Who was on the bottom?
Dale, who made mole, the Canadian made mole for like the fifth time.
Well, and he did a deconstructed mole.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, whoa.
Well, which you kind of had to do because you had to use your hands.
Was there a quick challenge?
I don't
think so.
No, somebody got immunity. Buddha got immunity.
Oh, Buddha got immunity for the ice cream thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had an emoji.
Oh, they had to pick an emoji. That's right. Victoire, who I really thought was going home. Victoire is the woman from Congo who now lives in Italy. She made Congolese food, but overthought it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then who else was in the bottom? Tom, the German, who they said if you had just made it so that it was you could actually pick it up, you would have won. Like the flavors were totally.
Oh yeah,
but
his problem was it didn't stay gel.
His mousse, he kept it. He took it out too early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it just wasn't very, because you couldn't use utensils, so it like melted in their hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the bottoms. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Tom is hysterical. Yeah, apparently, I have a German. I like appreciate a German sense of humor.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
What else are we watching? So
we started watching Shrinking.
Oh,
Shrinking.
Is it good? Is it
worth
watching?
Oh, it is very good.
Yeah, I haven't started that.
Yeah. On Apple.
Yeah.
On
Apple. Yeah. Like it a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. Watching Ted Lasso. We watched maybe two or three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm an episode behind, but yeah.
No.
I don't hate the season. I know a lot of people are not loving it, but I don't hate it.
The first, I mean, I think the problem with Ted Lasso is that first season that came out
after
a year
of
lockdown.
It's so hard because it's such a bottle,
you know, it just came out as such
the perfect time for that show.
And you know, it's
I can smell them. Should we take the fries out of the air?
I haven't put them in the air.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
You're farting. and anyway, but so it's the right of the storytellers to tell the story that they want to tell. But, you know, we were conditioned to feel one way about.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's one thing, though, that I've been reading on Ted Lasso is one of the shows that I like to read the recap in the Times the next day.
Yeah. How can you?
What do you mean, how can I?
If you're behind.
Well, yes. So I haven't read the most recent one.
Yeah.
But a couple episodes ago.
We're like four episodes. Oh, you're just one behind.
I'm only one episode behind.
Oh, I thought
behind.
You were one behind us.
No. I'm only one episode behind. Yeah. So there's the hive mind on the New York Times, at least a hive mind, has decided that so Rebecca, the owner of Richmond, her character, she like desperately wants a child, and it's like unclear if like everything is going to work out so that she can have a child naturally or not. And so there's chatter from people like, you know, trying to figure out what's going to happen, that her best friend, what's her name, the one who like sometimes hooks up with Ted, that who she's the godmother of her kid, that she's going to die. And then she'll get the kid, and that's how she's going to be a mom. And now I'm like, oh God.
You know, I find it kind of offensive that, you know, this woman who, you know, created this character who escaped from a high profile divorce and starts this company, you know, and is really a successful, you know, and they're putting her back to like having to be a mom.
Right.
You know, I just find
I don't
it
know,
just...
Mike. Like, I don't know. Like, it really, like, I mean, I don't have it, you know, but like, I would say that a
if you
lot
have it
of women
in 20
do.
Years when you're her age.
Want kids. I don't, I think she's probably supposed to be playing about 10 years older than me.
Yeah, she's only supposed to be in the 40s.
Yeah.
True.
But like, I don't know, just like knowing a lot of people who are going through, who are my age, who are like, having to make this decision right now, like it really is something that like all women have to decide.
Okay.
And you know, and yeah.
I just think that I know a lot of people who don't. It's like,
yeah, but they've probably made a decision to.
And you, do you want my sperm?
No, thank you.
Oh, boy, that's the grossest thing you ever said. The even thought of that is just...
Oh, I think Megan and I would have an adorable little kid.
An adorable little baby who just loves theater.
Yeah.
We'd be going to children's theater every day.
Hopefully they get your eyesight and perfect disposition.
Yeah, that would suck. So tomorrow night,
last
Perry Mason.
No.
Oh wow.
I'm so nervous that it's not going to get picked up. It's such a good show.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, looking forward to it. I hope it's a long episode. It probably won't.
Probably
be.
Not.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be. We know who it is now.
We do know who it is now. Yeah.
Succession continues to horrify and entertain.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
So
exactly.
Does the Yellow Jackets.
Yeah. Yep.
Sunday is a tough night because you have Yellow Jackets, Succession, Barry.
I haven't watched Barry.
And now somewhere.
It's back today, right?
Yeah. I'm so excited.
And I haven't started it yet, but excited for Dead Ringers. Love that. Rachel Weisz.
Oh, yeah. That's a little interesting.
All of these.
Yeah.
Do you remember? Did you watch that movie?
I did not see the movie with Jeremy Irons.
That movie. First off,
that is
weird.
Jeremy Irons gives one of the greatest performances ever.
Maybe I should
recorded.
Watch the movie before
it
watching
is,
the show.
Well, supposedly the show's different.
It is
very, very disturbing.
Yeah.
Yes.
But Jeremy Irons is incredible because he plays two twin brothers who go crazy in different ways at different times. And I mean, it's like, but you can always tell the two apart and they're both losing their mind.
And isn't it based somewhat on a true story?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
There were two brothers in New York City in the 70s.
Yeah.
They were gynecologists. They were twins and they were found dead in their apartment.
Yikes.
So I'm looking forward to the Rachel Weisz one.
Yeah, me too.
But I also want to watch The Power.
The Power, what's
that's
that?
That's with Toni Collette. That's with the with the women.
Oh, did she play the mafia?
No, that's a movie. This is a Naomi Ackerman wrote the book. Teenage girls suddenly get this power that they can shoot electricity out of their fingers.
Uh-huh.
Oh. And it's a really fascinating thing about what happens if all of the girls in the world suddenly
have the power.
Uh-huh. You know, how does the male dominated society react to that worldwide? And so it's fascinating.
What channel is that going to be?
That's on Amazon.
Well, judging from the world, I think, with repressive laws.
Yes.
Well, that's part of the thing. They start arresting them. And anyway. Yeah.
And then there's a new show on HBO. I never watched Candy on Hulu, but this is the same story.
Yeah,
with Elizabeth Olsen and Lily Rabe.
Yeah, but plus also
I can't remember
Jesse
what it's
Plemons.
Called. Oh, and Jesse
Love
Plemons.
And Death, I think.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
There's so much.
Maybe I should watch the Candy one first. I haven't started Chicago either.
Why would you want to watch the Candy one first? It's going to be the same story.
Well, but apparently I listened to the Lily Rabe was on Mark Maron's podcast this last week, and I guess, you know, it's told differently. So maybe it's worth watching
this one
both.
First.
Yeah,
and I can watch this one. Then you'd like, could I stand a different version?
Yeah,
of
because
this?
It does. This I am more interested in the actors.
Yeah.
Of this one.
Yeah.
What else? We're watching Survivor. Survivor is so much fun this season.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's really fun. There was a blind side this week, which was fun, and I was really worried that one of the people that I like is going to get kicked off, but they did, but he didn't. Mm-hmm. Top Chef.
Hmm. I'm almost done with Shrill.
Abbott.
Oh yeah. I've watched an episode of that since we last spoke, but I'm way behind on that.
No, I think it's over now for the season.
Yeah. Oh yeah. This was the episode that I just watched was at the conference. So they the two finally had like their first kiss, which was pretty cute.
Yeah. No, I don't know what else we're watching.
I think that's enough.
I think that's enough.
I think that
Jeopardy.
Is.
We're way behind on Jeopardy.
Yeah. We're like losing episodes.
And it's about to be a new tournament, I think.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We're like at least 2 weeks behind, but we could have lost 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
So that's that.
Yeah. Okay. Movie school. This week was
The African Queen.
1951
starring
Katharine Hepburn
and
Humphrey Bogart.
Humphrey Bogart.
Directed by John Huston.
Yeah.
Stellar
talent there.
Stellar talent.
I'll say it. I was bored.
I was also bored. Agreed. This is one of the rare ones that I've actually seen before, but it's been a while. And I'm like wondering if that was part of it. But I don't think it was.
I haven't seen it in 30 years, and I didn't remember it at all. I was like, they're blowing something up? Really?
Yeah.
And my problem was I thought that I didn't believe the relationship, and I thought they had terrible chemistry.
Yeah. I didn't didn't hate their chemistry, but I did not believe the speed at which it happened.
No.
By any stretch. Yeah, it just was, I just was bored. Yeah. I just don't really have that much to say about it.
You didn't believe the speed at which it happened?
Yeah.
Their relationship.
Well, I understand. But she said, like, after a lifetime of having...
Being repressed.
And having a male family member really dictate her life.
Yeah.
For the first time in her life,
free.
She is actually
free. Okay, thanks, John.
Free.
That helps. That
okay,
helps.
But what about him?
Him, for the first time in his life, he cannot escape a kind of a commanding woman.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, it's the jungle. Also, you know, they are put into situations where they have to do things.
I know, but like, like hormones are heightened. They're like going to die.
Hormones or just like, you know, they become impressed with each other.
Yeah.
He becomes impressed with her ability to come up with an idea that will take them to the next
place.
Also,
she learns how to navigate that boat really quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's this. It's left it.
That's why I was rolling my eyes, which obviously podcast listeners can't see. All she had to do was learn starboard versus port.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, well, and I think it's a rom-com.
Yeah, no, it is a rom-com. It is.
So,
yeah.
You know, it follows that kind of structure. And
that's true.
It's sweet. You know, it's sweet when he asks the captain to marry them. You know, it's very traditional in that way.
The part that the only part that honestly, like, really sticks out in my mind was watching all those crocodiles get into the river. And, okay, at one point he was impersonating all the animals that they were seeing.
That was pretty good.
And her laughing really was delightful. She seemed genuinely tickled. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I wonder if that was, like, unplanned or something. Because her reaction, like, really felt genuine.
Yeah.
But
I don't think Katharine Hepburn enjoyed herself filming this.
It does not seem like anybody.
She was
sick.
No, everybody was
except Humphrey Bogart and
John
Huston.
But we're drunk,
right? But apparently, Humphrey Bogart was also the one who, like, hated the location the most. Yeah. And so,
Well, I love that you read the story. I'm sure that in the church scene, the opening scene where she's playing the organ, she was so sick they had a
bucket on the side.
Frame.
Yeah.
So that she could
just go puke.
And the guy who played her brother, Robert Morley, never traveled to Africa.
All his filming was done in London.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So, like, even at the beginning, it's just like you see all the African natives and Katharine Hepburn, and then you see a single shot of him, and then you see all the African natives.
I didn't realize that. Yeah. Yeah. It just. I mean, maybe at the time, you know, like. A little post World War II, like, you know, and I guess they were at that point. Had she become a big star again?
Shit, she was a big star.
This was after her, like, because she was like she sank,
did
right?
She?
Yeah,
well,
I think she
I
did.
Bet she, but that was before Philadelphia story, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Because she staged her own comeback by owning the Philadelphia story and
then going
and
on stage. Yeah. So this was after Philadelphia Story.
Yes.
Okay. So she was a big
color
then. Yeah. Oh right. Actually, I think this was both of their first color film.
Yeah.
Meh.
Yeah.
I
thought the script
you.
Wasn't very good.
Yeah.
And then the script could have been, you know, just fizzier. And I understand everything you said about her situation and his situation, but I just don't think that the script, you know.
Yeah.
Was good enough.
I thought about you a lot during this movie.
Oh yeah.
Did you look a lot like Humphrey Bogart?
You lived in Africa.
I lived in Benin.
Would you go
for
back
a couple
to
years?
Africa?
Yeah, sure. I mean, probably. I don't know. I mean,
would you go back to Benin?
I don't know. No, maybe not. I guess I don't know. It's hard to say because I don't know. You don't want to yes, I probably would because no matter anywhere you're traveling, you're a tourist, you know, so you're going to do tourist things. But I don't know. There's just something like slightly unsettling internally about just like, you know, like going on a safari, which
I mean, that's not all there is to it, but it kind of is if you're a tourist, you know. I don't know. I guess I have conflicted feelings that I haven't thought through uh-huh. and probably should. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. There's another subtext to your whole life. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
No sausage conflicted
feelings that I just don't think through. About. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's pick next week's movie.
Okay. No, I think it. Oh, yeah, it is my pick. Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Which, of course, I picked a rom com because I love rom coms.
You love rom coms. It just naturally, it's a magnet to your hand.
You're
going to
pick a very wordy, boring movie. Okay. What's it going to be?
Got it. Okay. All right. Here we go. 1956, Giant.
Oh.
I've never even heard of this.
Giant?
You've no. never seen Giant?
I've never heard of it, never seen it. It is a sprawling epic, covering the life of a Texas cattle rancher and his family and associates. Elizabeth Taylor.
Why are you looking at me like I don't know?
Rock Hudson, James Dean, yeah. Carol Baker, Dennis Hopper, Sal Mineo, Rod Taylor.
Sal Mineo, Rod Taylor.
10 Oscar nominations, one Stevens. Who's Stevens?
George Stevens.
Oh, the director. On HBO Max. We don't even have to rent it.
Yeah.
We just get to watch it. I've never heard of this film.
Oh, wow. Well,
it's also turned into a musical by Michael John
Lucusa,
which I really love.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Oh, and it is definitely an epic. Three hours and 20 minutes. That's going to be a two-watcher for me.
Yeah, this was from the category of That's So Epic.
Okay. All right.
Classic.
And great. It is an epic story of, you know,
plus, you get to see James Dean.
It's a piece of Texas history.
Yeah, and
it's loosely
cattle
based
ranchers,
on the
our family.
Ranch.
Oh, uh-huh, okay. They were in New Mexico.
Yeah, well, if we had struck oil, maybe.
Yeah.
But we didn't,
yeah,
so no.
Right, no money in this family.
All right, I'm going to go put your french fries in the air.
Yeah.
Fryer.
All right, goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Have a great week, and we'll see you next time on Two Queens and a What?
What?
Cooked french fries.
Cooked french fries.